She said, "You are the Lord's devotees. You have inherited all of his property. Please, you go in the house, and whatever belongs to my son, you take it. I will never again enter this house because my son has left me." Now the 10 directions are full of darkness. It appears that all of the creation has become a desert. This house that was my place of shelter and happiness, now it appears that it's about to devour me. And whatever words my relatives and friends may say to pacify me, they are like flaming poison to my ears. My son Nimai has left. Now, no one will call me mother. Who will I cook for? My life and soul has left. Even Yamaraj has forgotten me. Otherwise, why am I still living? When the devotees heard this news, they all fell to the ground unconscious. They got up and surrounded Mother Sachi, trying by all means to somehow or other pacify her. All the devotees were weeping so loud that it was echoing throughout the entire town of Napadvip. People couldn't understand, what is this crying? Everyone came running to the house of Sachi Devi. When they saw the condition of the Vaishnavas and heard the news that Nimai Pandit has left Navadweep, everyone was struck with sorrow. The entire Navadweep was one massive kirtan of crying tears. Even the blasphemers, the sinners and the atheists, even those people who would criticize Lord Chaitanya, when they found out that he left Navadweep, they fell to the ground weeping tears of separation. They were beating their heads and punching their hearts. What fools, what sinful, ignorant rascals we are. We did not recognize him. We did not understand him. And now he has left us. Lord Chaitanya, after leaving his home, he jumped in the river Ganga, swam across the Ganga to the other side. That place is now called Nirdaigat, the place where Lord Chaitanya left Navadweep from and left all the residents drowning in an ocean of lamentation. After crossing the Ganges in his wet clothes, he ran to Kantaka Nagar, which is today called Katwa. It is approximately 25 miles walk along the Ganges. Later in the morning, he arrived in Katwa, went to the ashram of Keshavarati. When Keshavarati saw him, he noticed that his entire ashram was illuminated with light. He stood up to receive the Lord. The Lord offered his prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Keshav Bharati Maharaj and prayed, "Please be merciful to me. Give me shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. I beg you, give me the robes and the danda of a sannyasi so that I can become like you and fully absorb my entire life in devotional service." When Keshav Bharati heard these words, his heart was broken in millions of pieces. His body began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he said to Lord Chaitanya, "That my heart trembles at the thought of you taking sannyas. You are so young, only 24 years old, and you're so beautiful. Your golden complexion charms the entire world, and your beautiful hair cascading down your broad shoulders is the source of all beauty. From your very birth, your mother has protected you. You have never seen the troubles or the austerities of this life. You have no children. Your wife is hardly a child. Your mother is an old, helpless widow. I will not give you sannyas. I cannot. Impossible. You come back when you're 50 years old. In youth, the burning desires of life are present. After 50 years old, the senses naturally come under control. Then you come back and I will award you sannyas. But not now." When the Lord heard this, he began to cry. He informed Mukunda Dat to begin a kirtan. As Mukunda was chanting, Lord Chaitanya was dancing. Upon seeing the ecstatic symptoms on Lord Chaitanya's beautiful body, Keshav Bharati Maharaj understood he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I had no right to refuse him. After the kirtan, actually during the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in a big circle, and he was bathing all the people present with the tears from his eyes. In great humility, he put straw between his teeth, and with folded palms, he was approaching each person, begging, "Please engage me in your service." Keshav Bharati said to Lord Chaitanya that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the Guru of all living beings. However, if it is your desire that to teach the world by your example, that you accept me as your Guru, then I will accept you. But first, you must get permission from your mother and your wife. Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, I will get their permission." Immediately he began running toward Navadvip. Keshav Bharati Maharaj was thinking that this personality is so powerful, he can convince anyone of anything. Then he called the Lord back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very pleased, he instructed Chandrasekhar Acharya, his maternal uncle, to make all the arrangements for his sannyas initiation. Chandrasekhar Acharya went from village to village collecting ghee, yogurt, rice, wood, and all the other types of paraphernalia meant for the sacrifice. Soon he obtained it all and made all the arrangements. Then it came time for the hair-cutting ceremony. It was on the day of Makara Sankranti. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people came on that auspicious day to bathe in the river Ganga. There they saw the famous learned scholar Nimai Pandit shining like millions of moons, about to shave his head. Impossible. The people of Katva fell to the ground lamenting. They started crying out that what will happen to Sachi Devi, that most virtuous and noble of all women? How will she survive? And what about his young wife? And look at him. He's so young. He's so charming. Who has created this sannyas ashram where a young man leaves his family to cry in sorrow? Where a young man leaves all the comforts of this world to go door to door as a beggar? Who has created this? It is simply cruel. They were so outraged. They told Kesha Bharati, "We forbid you to give this son, this boy, a sannyas. It is against all religious principles. It cannot be done. If you do it, we will knock down your ashram and burn it to ashes." The opposition was tremendous. Soon the word spread throughout Katva, and everyone was coming, weeping, crying, angry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this predicament, and he told Mukunda to sing, and then raised his arms with great love and told everyone, "Chant the holy names." He induced everyone to chant and dance in ecstasy. And as they were seeing his beautiful form dancing, their hearts were charmed. Their minds were bewildered. This kirtan went on the entire night. By the time the next morning came, everyone was so intoxicated with Harinam Sankirtan, they were quite submissive. Then Lord Chaitanya called the barber and ordered him to shave his head. The barber, upon seeing the hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every limb of his body was trembling. Tears were gushing from his eyes. He saw that beautiful hair of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tied in an elegant topknot, decorated with very sweet, fragrant malati flowers. That hair enchants the three worlds. Meditating on that hair maintains the lives of the devotees. In previous birth, that hair attracted the hearts of the gopis to such an extent that they renounced their families, their children, their prestige, everything, just to see it. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the greatest of the demigods worshipped every thread of that elegant hair on the head of the Lord. The people of Katva could not look at this scene. They were covering their faces with the cloth that they were wearing. As the barber was trembling, he said to the Lord, Who could live and touch your head, my Lord? I have no power to shave your head. Your hair is enchanting all the three worlds. Please, please, do not cut your hair. I beg you. You can do anything you like, but please do not cut your hair. If anyone touches your head, that will be the greatest of all offenses. Where will I turn to for relief? What will be my salvation? My Lord, seeing the beauty of your hair is attracting my heart with ecstatic love. I have no power to cut it. I am very low. I'm coming from a low birth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled at the barber and said, "Do not be in distress. It is my will that you shave my head. I give you this promise, that this will be the last head you ever have to shave. For the rest of your life, you will live happily in this world with all prosperity. And I give you my word, when you end your life, you will immediately be promoted to the spiritual world as my eternal associate. Now cut my hair." The barber's hands were trembling. He could hardly see because his eyes were so filled with tears. Actually, it wasn't his hand shaving the head. It was the Lord himself who was moving his hand. Every hair that fell from the head of the Lord was causing havoc in the hearts of all of the devotees. They were falling to the ground, weeping, crying, wailing, screaming. At that time, the father of Srinivasacharya, his name at that time was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, he was on a trip to see his father-in-law, and he happened to be moving through Katva. On his way, he heard screaming and crying in all directions. He asked someone, "What's happening?" No one could answer him. So he ran to the river Ganga, and he arrived just when the hair cutting was taking place. That most charming hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was the very life and soul of the devotees, was falling to the ground. Gangadhar Bhattacharya fell unconscious. And then when he woke, he could simply roll in the dust of Ganga's bank crying. After the hair-cutting ceremony was complete, Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the Ganges. For those of you who have gone to Kathpa, just beside the tree where Lord Chaitanya received sannyas is the Samadhi Mandir for his hair. That hair was so sacred to the devotees that they built that shrine. And even today, almost 500 years later, we go there to worship. Lord Chaitanya put on his new garments, the drab saffron robes of a sannyasi. Then he was given his danda. The Lord performed a very unusual activity. He whispered in the ear of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, "I had a dream where a great Brahman whispered this mantra to me." Then he spoke the mantra and asked, "Is this a good mantra?" At that moment, Lord Chaitanya initiated Keshav Bharati Maharaj. When that mantra came in the ears of Keshav Bharati Maharaj from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was inundated with ecstasy. He said, "This is the best of all mantras. I will now initiate you." And he chanted the same mantra in Lord Chaitanya's ear. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that mantra, his limbs trembled, his hair stood on end, tears flowed from his eyes. He leaped in the air, began dancing in ecstasy, and all the devotees around began kirtan of the holy name. Keshav Bharati Maharaj was thinking, "What name can I possibly give to such a personality? Traditionally, I should give him the name Bharati. But I don't want to give him the name Bharati, because then people will think that he's my disciple. He's my worshipable Lord. What name can I give him?" At that moment, Goddess Saraswati appeared on his tongue and spoke these words, "Because you have descended to this world to give pure Krishna consciousness to all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, therefore your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya." At that moment, Goddess Saraswati appeared on his tongue and spoke these words, "Because you have descended to this world to give pure Krishna consciousness to all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, therefore your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya." Upon hearing this name, the devotees and all spectators around loudly cried out, "Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!"
And everyone offered their repeated obeisances. It was at this most historical moment that the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya appeared in this world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then offered his obeisances to his spiritual master.
and began the congregational chanting of the holy names. This kirtan was extraordinary. Mukunda Dutt was singing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who happened to be a very grave, sober sannyasi and a very elderly gentleman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him during the kirtan. Upon being embraced by the Supreme Lord, Keshav Bharati Maharaj's heart became uncontrollably filled with love. He began jumping and dancing. The guru and the disciple were dancing together with such ecstatic love, tears gushing from their eyes, hair standing on end, limbs trembling, leaping, jumping, twirling. Their dandas and kamandalus flew in all directions, and they didn't even know. Throughout the entire day and night, Keshav Bharati Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced together as all the devotees, struck with wonder seeing this sight, loudly continued chanting the holy names. When the next morning came, Lord Chaitanya bowed at the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj and said, "Now I will go to Vrindavan. Please give me your blessings." Keshav Bharati said, "I will go with you. I cannot give up your association." Lord Chaitanya began to cry. "I must find my beloved Krishna Chandra. I cannot bear another moment of separation from him. I will go to Vrindavan." The kirtan continued, and they began their procession toward Vrindavan Dham. Keshav Bharati Maharaj was in the front, leading the parade. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees and hundreds and thousands of people from Katwa were loudly chanting the holy names. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Meanwhile, in Navadvip, the devotees were drowning in the ocean of separation. They were lamenting bitterly that they were living. All that could be heard in the four directions was cry. The leader of the Vaishnavas, who was supposed to give strength and courage to them, was Advaitacharya. He cried out, "I will not live. On this very day, I will go to the river Ganga, submerge my body and end my life. And if anyone tries to stop me, then in the middle of the night I will perform this sacred act. I cannot live any longer." The residents of Navadvip, they replied to Advaitacharya, "We will not try to stop you. We will go with you. We cannot live. We will all drown ourselves in the Ganga to end our lives." They all proceeded to the river Ganges. Mother Sachi, she couldn't even move. She just stood like a statue. The only movement there were the torrents of tears that profusely flowed from her beautiful eyes. When all the devotees arrived at the Ganges, and they were just on the verge of ending their lives, a celestial voice spoke from the sky and said, "Advaita Chaya, please do not end your life. Your beloved Lord will be with you again in 2 or 4 days. Stay with the devotees and perform Harinam Sankirtan." Upon hearing this voice, the devotees' hearts were filled with joy. They all took shelter of each other and continuously chanted Krishna's holy names. One may ask, why the Lord put his devotees in such immense separation? According to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, union and separation are inseparable aspects of love for Krishna. Because in separation, the experience of attachment to one's beloved burns very, very deeply into the core of one's heart. Without separation, union with the Lord does not have the same experience. Where there is necessity, there is a deeper appreciation. A glass of water is ordinary, but if you're starving from thirst, how much do you value that glass of water? Similarly, the Lord puts his devotees in these feelings of separation simply to increase the ecstasy of their attachment and love for him. In Vrindavan and Navadvip, love and separation is such an essential part of the devotees' lives. Lord Krishna lived in Vrindavan for about 12 years and 8 months. He didn't actually begin his conjugal love with the gopis until he was about 7 or 8 years old. So that means the gopis of Braja had that loving relationship with Krishna only from the age of 7 to the age of 12 and a half. And yet he remained in Mathura and Dwarka for 112 years. They lived in separation from Krishna. Five years in his company and 112 years in separation. But yet when Uddhava came to Vrindavan from Mathura on Krishna's instruction, and he saw the love of gopis headed by Sri Radharani in separation, he considered that although he was famous as the closest devotee and friend of Krishna in all of Mathura, the love of the Brijabasis in separation was unlimitedly deeper. He considered that he had no love for Krishna whatsoever in their presence. In fact, he prayed that he could be a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that the servants of the gopis may someday trample upon his head and he could then obtain the dust from their lotus feet. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to give that same experience of ecstatic love and separation to the devotees of Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after one day of traveling, he sent Kesha Bharati and all the other residents of Katwa to return to their homes. And then he continued with Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, Jagadananda. The first night, he stayed in the house of a very saintly Brahmin. But when only 3 hours remained of the night, without telling anything to anyone, Lord Chaitanya disappeared and roamed in the forest, crying out for Krishna. He was weeping. Where is Krishna? Where is Vrindavan? Where is Govardhan? Where is Jamuna? What is my life without Krishna? Why has he abandoned me? He was crying so piteously. When the devotees woke up, they couldn't find him anywhere. But they heard his cries from over 2 miles away. And they came running to that place to pacify him. We will take you to Vrindavan. Come, let us go. Because Radhadesh is a place where the Ganges does not flow, at that time it was considered that people were very impious there. It was practically impossible to find anyone chanting the holy names. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of love, he was inducing everyone to accept the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. He saw some simple little cowherd boys, and he induced them, chant Harinam! The cowherd boys started chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with them that he went and embraced them and showed them such love and affection. It was at that time that Nityananda Prabhu took the cowherd boys aside to a secluded place and told them, when this sannyasi asks you the direction to Vrindavan, you should direct him to Ganga. Because actually Nityananda Prabhu is none different than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the original servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knows the Lord's heart intimately. He understood that although the Lord externally he wants to go to Vrindavan, in the deeper recesses of his heart, his love for his devotees is so great, he actually wants to go back and enjoy kirtan with them and save their lives. The Lord asked one of the cowherd boys, which is the way to Vrindavan? They said, it is this way. He began running in that direction. After 3 days, The Lord saw the river Ganga. He thought it was Jamuna. He was under the impression, I have arrived in Vrindavan at last. He went and bowed down before the Ganga, entered in, ecstatically taking his bath, offering prayers. O Jamuna Mai, you are the most blessed daughter of the sun god. The ambrosial nectar of your waters liberates one of all sins. One who receives your mercy never has to see Yamaraj. One who bathes in your waters and drinks your nectarine fluid will certainly gain ecstatic love for Sri Nanda Nandana. At that moment, Advaitacharya came with a boat. Lord Nityananda had sent Chandrasekhar Acharya to have Advaita meet them at that spot. He said to the Lord that you have taken your bath and all of your clothes are wet and you have no dry clothes, so I have brought you a new set of dry clothes. Please take them. Lord Chaitanya was externally bewildered. He said, Advaita, what are you doing in Vrindavan? How did you know I am in Vrindavan? He said, this is the Ganga. Lord Chaitanya, this is Ganga? Yes, this is Ganga. Nityananda has cheated me. Advaita smiled. He said, actually, what Nityananda said is true. Because at the holy place of Prayag, Ganga and Jamuna meet and become one river. On the eastern side, from that point on, it is considered the Ganga, and the western side is considered the Jamuna. And because you are bathing on the western side, therefore you are bathing in Jamuna. So Nityananda Prabhu is speaking truth. And besides that, my Lord, you are in Vrindavan, because wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. What is Vrindavan? It is the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead. Narottam Das Thakur explains, wherever the devotees gather together to sing and chant the glories of the Lord, that place is Vrindavan. Whichever devotee, his heart is filled with remembrance of Krishna, wherever the lotus feet of that devotee stands, that is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not simply a place that can be limited to geographical conditions. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. And because Krishna is always living in the hearts of his devotees, that heart is Vrindavan. Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya that you have been fasting for 3 days. I have prepared a nice offering to the deities. It's very simple. Please come and accept alms in my house. So the Lord got on the boat with Advaitacharya, along with Nityananda Prabhu, and they entered into Shantipur. When they arrived, Advaitacharya welcomed the Lord in his home, and there was a wonderful, wonderful offering that his beloved wife, Sita Thakurani, had prepared for the deities. Lord Chaitanya saw the offering and said, I'm very happy to see such wonderful service to Lord Krishna. Now you just give me a small plate of steamed vegetables and rice. Advaitacharya made a big plate, everything that the deities had, for both Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya. He said, this day, please do favor for me and accept what the deities have eaten. The Lord said, but there is enough on my plate for 10 men to eat. How can I eat so much? Advaitacharya replied, my Lord, I know. In Jagannath Puri, you take 54 offerings a day. Each one enough for thousands of people. And in the spiritual world, all the goddesses of fortune are cooking for you. So this is just a small thing. Just take whatever you can take. The Lord said, this is too much. I'm a sannyasi. How can I eat so much? You just take. And Nityananda Prabhu, he turned to Advaita and said, I have been fasting 3 days. And this is all you give me? This is not even enough to fill a portion of my belly. Advaitacharya said, I am just a poor Brahmin. And you are my guest. I'm giving you whatever I have. Please accept it. So every time Lord Chaitanya began to eat something, Advaita would immediately fill the bowl up with more. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took to his full satisfaction. Meanwhile, as the meal was going on, Nityananda Prabhu was becoming more and more disturbed. He said, it's useless for me even to go on eating this. It will not fill me. I can see that I've come as your guest and you are forcing me to fast. Then he picked up a handful of rice and threw it on the ground. The rice bounced off the ground and touched Advaita's leg. By being touched by that rice, he became ecstatic. Advaita began jumping in the air, dancing and chanting. He said, because I have been touched by the remnants of a madman, now I have become mad. You are so ungrateful. I've given you everything I have. I will never, ever, ever invite another avaduta to my house. Nityananda said, I will never come back to your house. Advaitacharya said that you are a reject Paramahamsa. Nityananda Prabhu threatened to beat him. In this way, they engaged in very loving pastimes together. Meanwhile, Chandrasekhar was sent to Navadvip to bring Sachi Devi and the devotees to the house of Advaita in Shantipur. When Chandrasekhar Acharya arrived in Navadvip with the good news that the Lord was waiting for them, they became overwhelmed with joy. They arranged a beautiful palanquin to carry Sachi Devi. On their procession from Mayapur Dham to Shantipur, in great jubilation, they all danced, taking full shelter of Krishna's holy names. They arrived at Advaita Bhavan. Sachi Mata was given a seat. Her beloved son, Sri Gaurasundar, then came before her. When she saw his most beautiful curling black hair cut from his head, the shaved head of a renunciate, her heart broke. Those beautiful silken cloths that he was wearing, folded in three places, were no longer upon his body, but the simple drab copan of a sannyasi covered his golden form. Her heart broke into pieces. She wept and cried, but at the same time she was so happy to see him. The Lord offered his repeated obeisances in full prostration at the lotus feet of his mother, Sachi. She picked him up and placed him on her lap and covered his face with her kisses of motherly love. Lord Chaitanya was crying. He said, "My dear mother, I'm sorry. I have acted like a madman. You have given me this body. You have protected me from birth. I am your property. In a state of craziness, I have left you and taken sannyas. Now, if you like, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will stay home with you if it is your desire." Sachi Devi was thinking within her heart that I want him to stay home with me. But if a sannyasi stays home with his mother, he will be condemned by the whole world. And my life is only for his happiness, not for my own. So she contemplated. And then she presented to the devotees her idea. If Nimai goes to Vrindavan, I will never see him again. However, Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, is not far away. Devotees from Navadvip are always going to Puri, and devotees from Puri are constantly coming to Navadvip. They are like two rooms in the same house. The same Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna, is residing there in the form of Lord Jagannath. If my son resides in Jagannath Puri, then regularly I will hear the narrations of his divine pastimes. All the devotees unanimously agreed, and it was presented before Lord Chaitanya that he make his residence in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. At that time, Advaitacharya, with great love in his heart, folded his hands and prayed to the Lord, "Please stay in my home for more days and perform Harinam Sankirtan with us." The Lord agreed. Sachi Mata, she made a heartfelt appeal to all the Vaishnavas. "You are all the Lord's associates. You may all see the Lord from time to time, but I am his mother. He will never come back to my home again. I beg this one charity from you. As long as my Nimai is here in Shantipur, let me cook each and every meal for him." When she spoke these words, all the devotees blissfully cried out, "Jai, all glories to Mother Sachi." Day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed Harinam Sankirtan in the house of Advaita in Shantipur. Such ecstasies that had never been seen in all of creation were being manifested. Sometimes the Lord would jump high in the sky and then fall unconscious and fall to the ground like a bag of bones. Seeing this, Sachi Devi's heart would crack. She prayed to Lord Vishnu that I have worshipped you since my earliest childhood. I have never asked anything from you. Please grant me this one benediction, that whenever my Nimai falls to the ground in Kirtan, that he may feel no pain. Please grant me the benediction that when he falls to the ground, I will not see it. This benediction was given. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent many days with his devotees, absorbed in intimate loving relationships. Then he announced that it is time I will go for the darshan of Jagannath in Puri. The devotees appealed to the Lord that it is a very inauspicious time to go, because there is wars between different tribes in the provinces on the way to Puri. It's very dangerous. If they see any pilgrims passing by, they will catch them, imprison them, beat them. Plus, this is a time when there's so many dacoits and cruel men. Please wait until an auspicious moment. There are too many obstacles. Lord Chaitanya lifted his hands and with a loud voice he said, when will there ever be a time in this world when there is no obstacles? I will go now. When Advaitacharya heard this, he became ecstatic. He said, yes, what you say is true. All obstacles are your servants, assisting you in your mission. Nothing can stop you. What Advaitacharya said is very instructive. All obstacles are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to help every devotee perfect their lives in purification. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended into this world to give pure, unalloyed devotional service. Therefore, any obstacle that comes in the life of a devotee, being a servant of the Lord, is only to help us to become pure devotees. And if we see the obstacles that come before us in this spirit, welcome them. Take it as an opportunity to surrender. Then each and every obstacle will be our best friend, the Lord's mercy. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam ridvagbubu virvidatam namaste jiveti mukta padesadayabhag. Who has the right for liberation? Srimad Bhagavatam explains, one who is put in a miserable condition of life where there is great suffering, and in that condition, with folded hands, gratefully offer obeisances to the Lord, that person, liberation is his rightful claim. So when obstacles come, we should be thankful. We should take it as the Lord's mercy. Then Lord Chaitanya began his journey, and all the devotees began to follow him. But except for Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Jagadananda, he sent everyone back. He told Advaitacharya, you have to be strong. You have to give strength to the other Vaishnavas. I promise you that you could come to Puri on a regular basis to perform Sankirtan together. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled. On the way, he came to a very dangerous jungle. He stayed at one Brahmin's house. The Brahmin said, it's very, very dangerous. In the jungles ahead of you, there are so many highway robbers, dacoits, murderers, and thieves. No one can travel there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will go. What will stop me? So he took him to a boat. They were sailing down a river through the jungles. And Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda, chant the holy names! Mukunda began to chant and everyone was dancing on the boat. The boatman was wrapped with fear. He said, stop this singing, stop! You do not know where you are. I know, I live here. We have to go silently at night. Because there are murderers, thieves, and dacoits. If they hear you, they will come and kill you and take everything you have. And besides that, there's man-eating tigers in these forests. If they hear this, they'll swim up to the boat and eat us. Stop the singing. So the devotees stopped singing. After some time, Lord Chaitanya asked, why have you stopped kirtan? I am here. Krishna is not different than his name. If you are chanting the holy name of Krishna sincerely, Krishna will protect you. There is nothing to fear. Chant the holy names loudly. Kirtan began. Thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ultimately visited Remuna to see Kirchor Gopinath, then Shakshi Gopal, and entered into Puri. At Danda Banganadi, Nityananda Prabhu was given Lord Chaitanya's sannyas danda to hold. Lord Chaitanya took bath, but before taking his bath, he said to Nityananda, hold my danda. After taking bath, he went to a temple of Lord Shiva, Kapotveshwara, Mahadev. Then he came out and said to Nityananda Prabhu, give me my danda. But let me tell you what happened in between. When Lord Chaitanya was in the temple of Lord Shiva, Lord Nityananda looked at the danda. He was thinking that my Lord carries a flute, not an ekadanda. That in my heart, I carry the Lord. My Lord does not carry a danda. And he spoke to the danda that you have no right to be in the hands of my Lord. And with great anger, he broke the danda in three pieces and threw it in the river. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. When he was asked, give me danda, Nityananda Prabhu said, there is no danda. where is my danda? He said, well, what happened is you were in ecstasy and you fell on your danda and it broke and it fell in the river and now I do not know where it is. Lord Chaitanya said, you broke my danda. The danda is the representative of all the demigods. It is the representative of Vishnu himself, and you have broken it. This is intolerable. Although in his heart of hearts, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to show by his example, he appeared angry. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the significance of why Lord Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different stages of sannyas. Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrakacharya, and Paramhamsa. In the Paramhamsa stage, one needs no longer to have a danda. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's above Paramhamsa. He's the object of worship for the Paramhamsas. Why should he be carrying a danda? And besides that, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in the Shankaracharya Sampradaya. Keshav Bharati, it is said he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But for the sake of preaching, he took sannyas in Shankar Sampradaya. The reason is because at that time in India, although there were Vaishnava sannyasis, due to the influence of Sripad Shankar Acharya, they had very little influence in society. The religious world of India was very much ruled by the Shankarites. And one who took sannyas in Shankar's line was given all respect. So that people would respect him, bow down to him, and hear from what he would say. Lord Chaitanya accepted the Mayavad line of sannyas. They hold an ekadanda. One stick represents that everything is one. That all duality is illusion. That Brahman is one, and ultimately everything of this world is an illusion. Therefore, everything is ultimately Brahman and only Brahman. But the Vaishnavas, they carry tridanda. Because they know we are eternally servant of Krishna. The tridanda of a Vaishnava means that we dedicate our body, mind, words, and life eternally as the servants of Krishna. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu turned Lord Chaitanya's ekadanda into a tridanda and then cast it in the water. Lord Chaitanya said, I will not travel with you. You either go ahead of me or behind me. The devotees say, you go first, we'll go behind you. It is not proper for us to be in front. When Lord Chaitanya saw from a distance the chakra on Jagannath's temple, he offered his prostrated obeisances. And then with a heart of intense separation, he began walking very fast to Jagannath. He practically ran into the temple, and when he saw the deity, he ran to embrace him. But just when he approached Lord Jagannath, in the ecstasy of love, he fell unconscious. He was brought to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. The greatest scholar, the guru of the king. But by Lord Chaitanya's influence, he became a pure Vaishnava. The Lord then took a trip to South India for about 2 years. He traveled. two, 3 years. Then he returned to Puri and expressed his desire to the devotees to go to Vrindavan. During his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, he decided he wanted to see his mother and the river Ganges. So he came to Navadvip Dham. First he went to the house of Vidyavachaspati, who is the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When the residents of Navadvip heard that Sri Gauranga has returned, they were mad with eagerness to see him. They were running. The roads were so filled with people that people were running through the forests. And there were so many millions of people running through the forest that the forest became trampled down like a road. Then they came to the Ganges. They had to cross the Ganga. There were a few ferries there. Within an instant, thousands and thousands of people got on these ferries, and the ferries just fell apart and sunk. The ferryman was very much in distress, but the people just gave all their possessions to the ferryman. Somehow or other, they had to get there to see Lord Chaitanya. Some of them took branches from, or trunks from banana trees and were using them as boats holding on. Others took clay pots and pressed it to their chest to float across the Ganga. Some people knew how to swim. Other people, they didn't know how to swim, but they were so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, they forgot that they didn't know how to swim and started swimming. Some people got on some boats that still existed, and when the boat was halfway through, because of so many people, it started to sink. And just at that moment, some dry land just appeared right under the boat. The boat was stuck. Men, women, children, old, young, they just jumped in the Ganga and started swimming across. There were millions of people at one time in the river Ganga, all crying out the holy names of Krishna. They came to the house of Vidyavachaspati. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave them their darshan by standing on the roof. Everyone wanted to see him with such eagerness. Each and every single tree had hundreds, if not thousands, of people climbed on it to see the Lord. And yet, by the Lord's mystic power, not a single branch of any tree was broken. On little houses, even thatched huts, hundreds of people were standing to see the Lord, but yet not one house collapsed. When the Lord saw them all, he told them, "Please chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Amongst yourselves, love each other, serve each other. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your wealth, Krishna is your very life and soul. Everyone, chant the names of Krishna." As at that time there was a glorious kirtan where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced in ecstasy. There's a beautiful expression of love by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's meditating on being one of the devotees of Navadvip who are seeing Lord Chaitanya on the house of Vidyavachaspati. He's praying to the Lord, please come back to the house of Srivas Thakur. The idea is this. He's making a parallel between the devotees of Vrindavan seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra and the devotees of Navadvip seeing Lord Chaitanya at Vidyavachaspati's home. When Srimati Radharani and the Brijabasis met Krishna in Kurukshetra, they were so happy to see him, but they could not accommodate seeing him as a great king. You are the same Krishna. I am the same Radharani. And these are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. And this is the same bank of the holy river. But I want to see you. I want to see you under a kadamba tree on the banks of the river Jamuna. Now you are standing with a great crown and royal armor. Please take it off. Come back to Vrindavan. I want to see you with your hair decorated by a peacock feather and your chest decorated with the wild flowers of Vrindavan's forest and the Gunjamala. Now there are great elephants and chariots and many, many soldiers. I want to see you with the deers and the cows and the simple gopas in the forests on the bank of Jamuna. Now you are surrounded by 16,108 regal queens. Please, Krishna, come back to Vrindavan. Our heart is Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that this is the internal meaning of Rath Yatra. In the ecstasy of love, in both union and separation simultaneously, the residents of Vrindavan are bringing Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra from Kurukshetra, representing his Dwarka Leela, back to Vrindavan. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that we don't like to see you with this shaved head. We want to see that beautiful, flowing, enchanting hair cascading down your golden shoulders. We don't like to see this sannyas garb. We want to see you decorated again with your beautiful ornaments, your colorful clothes, sitting beside your consort, Vishnupriya. Please, come back and join us in the kirtan of Srivasangam. This was the prayer of Bhakti Vinod. Vrindavan Leela and Navadvip Leela are non-different. The Madhurya Ras, the Leela of ecstatic, intimate love, permeates both abodes. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. Navadvip is Odarya Dham. Because that same sweetness of Vrindavan is being distributed profusely to everyone and anyone through Harinam Sankirtan from the land of Navadvip. When Krishna was living in Vrindavan, many great demons came to cause trouble. Putana, Trinavarta, Sakatasura, Vatsasura, Bakasura, Aghasura, Keshi, Pralambasura. But ultimately, there were other demons outside that Krishna decided, I must conquer. Dantavakra, Shishupal, Jarasandha. So Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then Dwarka. And when he met the Brajabasis in Kurukshetra, he told them, the reason I left you is because my mission is to clean the world of these demons. There's still just a few more demons left, then I'll come back. Just be patient. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya, when he was living in Navadvip, how much opposition came upon him. That beautiful child, Navadvip Chandra, who charmed the hearts of all. Jagayan Madhai, the most vicious, murderous dacoits, creating havoc in people's lives. He transformed them into humble brahmacharis, pure Vaishnavas. And then there was Keshav Kashmiri, greatest pundit in all of the world. The Lord crushed all of his pride into fine powder and made him into a pure Vaishnava. And then there was the Chand Kazi. Such opposition. Wherever he heard the devotee or anyone chanting, he would beat them, he would imprison them, he would plunder them, he even broke the murdanga of Srivas Thakur. When Mahaprabhu saw that opposition, that was the time he enacted his first public Harinam Sankirtan procession through all the roads, streets, and ghats of Navadvip, dancing and singing in ecstasy. He transformed Chand Kazi and his whole race into Vaishnavas. But still, there was a class of people who were not accepting his mercy. The simple common people, they accepted the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But it was the proud Brahmins, the so-called learned scholars, the Mayabadi philosophers. The Lord saw that they escaped the net of his compassion. They were the ones who were criticizing him, threatening to beat him. Therefore, to conquer that opposition, the Lord accepted sannyas and left Navadvip. Krishna, he left Vrindavan to kill the demons. Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to kill the demoniac mentality and transform people's hearts into Vaishnavas with the weapon of the holy name. Krishna, he left Vrindavan to kill the demons. Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip to kill the demoniac mentality and transform people's hearts into Vaishnavas with the weapon of the holy name. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to South India, everyone became devotees. And how mystical it is that his plan was successful. When he returned to Navadvip, even the greatest blasphemers, Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti, Devananda Pandit, all these people by the thousands in Kuliagram at the house of Madhavadas, they all came and surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was a grihastha, they considered him an ordinary person. But after he left home to take sannyas, they realized his supreme exalted position and surrendered to him. But the greatest opposition was in Varanasi, the high seat of the Mayavadis. When he went there performing kirtan with devotees, the thousands and thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis and their followers had nothing but blasphemy to say about the Lord. Sentimentalist, ignorant fool, cheap magician. We saw the drama the night before last, which so nicely depicted this scene. But because he was a sannyasi, that's why they were saying all these things against him. But he was invited by that Maharashtrian Brahmin to his house for prasad. And Lord Chaitanya washed his feet and then sat in the very place where everyone was washing their feet. His body emitted the beautiful effulgence of Brahman. The sannyasis were charmed by his beauty. And because he was a sannyasi, they couldn't understand, why are you sitting in that dirty place? Are you feeling some lamentation? The Lord, out of great humility, he said, I am not fit to sit with you. I am from a lower order of sannyas, and you are all great scholars. The Lord's humility melted their hearts. The leader of sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati, came with his own hand and brought Lord Chaitanya to the raised platform, thus performing Agyata Sukriti. Through the dialogue that took place between Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati, their hearts were transformed. And soon, at the Bindu Madhava temple, Prakashananda and all his thousands of sannyasis, with their arms raised, were leaping and dancing in ecstasy, crying tears, chanting the holy name. Krishna, 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 Devi, Ram, 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 Devi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas out of his love and mercy for you and me. And one who hears this narration with this spirit and gratefully surrenders life at the shelter of his lotus feet will soon achieve perfection. Srila Prabhupada taught us that the Lord has six opulences in full: wealth, knowledge, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. Through this lila of the Lord leaving his loving, caring, widowed mother alone, his wife Vishnupriya was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune herself. She was perfectly chaste, absolutely faithful. She lived only for the pleasure of her husband. Who could leave such a wife, such a mother? And his friends, his companions, and his lifestyle in Navadvip was ultimate pleasure. But he left it all. To live in the forests at times, to become a beggar, just to give us Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains, this is the supreme manifestation of renunciation. And our own beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he also performed that great sacrifice for you and me. He told us when his Guru Maharaj appeared to him in a dream and told him to take sannyas, what was his words? How horrible, how horrifying this is. To leave his faithful wife, his children, his home. But yet it was his Guru Maharaj's desire. In a spirit of compassion, he accepted the renounced order of life. And for him, sannyas did not mean renouncing the world for one's own spiritual advancement. It meant preaching Krishna consciousness to the world. That is the singular reason Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Etam sa astaya paratmanishtam adyashitam puravatamaya mahavir aham darishyami duranta param tamomukundangrinasevyavaiva. When Lord Chaitanya was roaming in Radhadesh, after accepting the renounced order, he was chanting this prayer of the Avanti Brahman. Indicating that one surrenders his life to Mukunda. That is taking sannyas. Simply for devotional service. Not for prestige. Not for position, not for liberation, but simply to serve Lord Mukunda, he had taken sannyas. And what is that service? Spreading the glories of the holy name. Understanding so perfectly the essence of the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. And what was his realization? Leaving the beautiful surroundings of Sri Radha Damodar Temple to go to Bombay, to stand, to sit at the steps of Sumati Murarji, begging her for a ticket on a cargo ship
to the west.
You will die, Swamiji. It's too cold. You have no money. You have no proper friends. Prabhupada was begging for service. Service to his guru, service to Mahaprabhu's mission, service to all humanity. And while living in Bauri, he was living like a beggar, with nothing and no one. He only had one possession, his faith. His faith in the words of his guru and in the holy name of Krishna. The sacrifice of Lord Chaitanya, as well as the sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada, was simply mercy to you and me. And to the degree we're able to be genuinely grateful to that mercy, to that same degree we will become dear to Krishna. You cannot achieve the spiritual world by any mechanical process. You can only achieve Goloka Dham by divine grace. And that grace comes in reciprocation to the proper environment of our heart. We should be grateful. We should be humble. We should be faithful. We should take the simple instructions Prabhupada has given us as our life and soul. He told us that we can show our love for him by how we cooperate together. What is the use of our egoistic conceptions of our identity or our facilities or our position? In the name of spirituality, they simply keep us bound to the sufferings of birth and death. If they create competition and conflict amongst others. Mahaprabhu taught us, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. I'm not a Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha or Sannyas. One aspiration, one identity, servant of the servant of the servant. Actual renunciation does not mean holding danda. Actual renunciation is a spirit of the heart. Whether you are a woman or a man or a child, from any nationality, from any educational bracket, from any income situation, you can all be perfectly renounced. Real renunciation is adherence to the divine law that Lord Chaitanya taught us all. Trinadapi sunichena, tadorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this state of consciousness, we can constantly chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda ki, Gaur Bhimanandi. Thank you very much. Jai Swami Maharaj ki jai.